The choir will be opening our service this morning, and you are invited to wave your palm branches with them as they enter, and follow them in and lay your branches at the front if you're able. Good morning, and welcome to our service this Palm Sunday. Thank you for that enthusiastic singing. Hosanna, Hosanna, we joyfully raise our voices in praise. This Lenten season, we've been seeking God's ways. Our focus statement for today says, as we seek God's ways, we move from an understanding of power that grasps for control over others to an understanding that true power comes from working with and for others in love. Jennifer mentioned last Sunday, our understanding of a word can affect how we use it. It also, at times, can affect our actions. This week, I happened to see a post on the internet that related to this. It said, power is not controlling other people. Power is controlling yourself. Trying to control other people is the first sign that you are entirely out of control. Controlling others is what weak people think power looks like. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem many years ago, he did not ride down that road on a big white horse, but on a young donkey. What is Jesus trying to teach us? Let's read the call to worship together. Together we seek the way of God, a way so different from the ways of this world. We remind ourselves to loosen our grasp, to trust instead of control. We praise a God we cannot see and celebrate a salvation that we do not understand. In worship, we give of ourselves and we receive the disarming power of God. We cry, blessed is the one who comes in the power of God's name. Let's bow for prayer. We give you thanks, O God, that our wisdom is not your wisdom. Our ways are not your ways. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The horse that led the victorious warrior got lost, while the donkey still knows the way. As children on our bikes, we learn that although our instincts tell us to hold on tight and try to turn when we get caught in a rut, a loose grip will guide us through. Gracious God, your way shows us that all those who try to hold on tightly will fall, while all those who hold on with light hands of trust will stand together. Although we may feel rejected as Jesus was rejected, we trust that we stand together in your powerful love. Amen.
Let's take our blue book, please, and turn to number 238. Hosanna, loud Hosanna. And so Hosanna means save us. So you can imagine Jesus riding on his donkey and people screaming, Hosanna! So they were definitely expecting something. And the kids, you know, they love parades. So they were right in there waving their branches. And these branches, I found out, are signs of victory. Could have been a lot of other things too, but in that case, that's what it meant. So we notice that. Coming down from the Mount of Olives, they're coming down from Olivet, they followed, so it's a little bit downhill, but you're going uphill right away to Jerusalem, which is a little higher. So that's the path that they chose, and we're going to remember that as we celebrate Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, and our King. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Good singing, everybody. Thank you. Right, the next page there. All glory, laud, and honor. Some of these songs have old words like laud. Laud is like praise, when you laud somebody. So according to the gospel, they were all kind of using Psalm 118. So keep your ears open in case that shows up somewhere else today. 237.
Please turn in your bulletins and we will read the responsive reading. Your ways, O God, are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We seek God's ways. Lord, move us from seeking the power to control others to instead using power with them for everyone's healing and wholeness.
As the choir comes up, I'll just mention a bit about the two songs we're singing out of the Voices Together. The first one gives voice, gives us a language for how to speak about terrible things that happen. And it's a prayer, the song. It ends with, "Heal, have mercy, Christ have mercy, and heal your people's, hear your people's yearning cry." And the second one is called... Okay. And the second one is called, What is this world like if when God's will is done? So there's five stanzas, but 2, 3, and 4 are stories that Jesus told when he said, the kingdom of God is like the father and the son who wanted his inheritance, or the 10 maidens and so forth. So there's three. And that's what the second one is like. The first one addresses more painful things. The second one is just feels a lot more hopeful. Well, they both feel hopeful, but in different ways.
As we structure, we must grow.
Good morning and welcome here. Welcome also to those who are online and live streaming. We also are live streaming right here, different kind. I hope those of you sitting over here can still see through all of these palm branches. Vic Reimer, I see you there. This is the time for opportunities for sharing and prayer. I don't want to spend too much time on rereading what you can already read in the bulletin. And if I said I just want to highlight a few things, that's favoritism, showing which ones I want you to pay attention to and which ones I want you to ignore. Well, that's not true. I don't want you to ignore any of these things. They're all important. However, there are many that are coming up this week as we begin the Passion Week. But before we get there today, we have an opportunity we haven't had in a while, and that is to go and visit one of our care homes. We will be going to Prairie View Lodge at 3 p.m. So for those who would love to visit those folks who live there, unfortunately, Pete and Mary Ham don't live there anymore, but their neighbors are still there, and they still appreciate Zion Mennonite coming. So if you're going to come, let me know, then I'll bring the books for the choir, a different choir, the care home choir, and then we can sing as well as have our other regular service. So that's this afternoon at 3 p.m. Coming up on Thursday, this is also what I want to highlight, Thursday evening, 5:30. Pay attention to that. 5:30 is the time, and we will have the Last Supper, share it together, and also have communion. That is downstairs. So it will be a light meal, with COVID, and we will be COVID cautious. Some have already asked me what that means, and if you are one of those, please ask your neighbor or ask us. Don't stay home because you think it's too dangerous. We will try to be cautious. On Friday morning, we will gather here at 10 o'clock for the Good Friday service. Then again on Easter Sunday, please notice the time change for next Sunday. If you are going to the sunrise service, that will be 8. I don't want to set a firm 8 o'clock time and have all of you on-time people be there at 8 o'clock and then have all the rest come at 8:30. So as I know it now, 8 o'clock is the time. Southside Park, where all the tennis courts are with no nets. That's at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, we gather here. So 9 o'clock will be our Easter service here. And immediately following that, we will go downstairs at 10 o'clock for the brunch. And you see it says potluck. So bring your pots and good luck. Bring whatever you would like to eat and to share for brunch. So if you prefer breakfast, if you're morning leaning, bring breakfast. If you're lunch leaning, bring lunch. Bring whatever you would like, and we will all share it together. Also, for those of you who like to bring flowers on Easter Sunday, you are more than welcome to bring whatever you have. We are going to litter the platform with color and with flowers. So if that is your offering as your way of being involved, do it. Do it with joy. Oh, and then comes the bad news. If you're following, I won't even pay attention to that. But look in the bulletin. There we have a financial statement. Thank you to Brian. We asked him to give us that six-month update. And there we are, a little bit short. Our year-end is September, end of September. That's why this is now our six-month end date. Oh, the other one I want you to notice is down further, May 15th. That's next month. But May 15th, Clarence Peters and his gang will come and present a program. We've been waiting and waiting. They always manage to have some kind of excuse. Not really an excuse. Once it was a snowstorm,
And this last time, it was masks. We want to be able to enjoy the full exuberance of their music and singing without being masked. And so by May 15th, we feel confident that they will be able to bring the program and sing to their heart's content. So on that day, invite your friends. You can tell them, you know, this is going to be a very special service. And let them come and see a bit of what we do here sometimes. The other things I will let you look through, pay attention to. Okay, thanks, Bart. I think we will pray together. And you see the Lenten Prayer of Confession printed there. We will conclude the prayer together, praying for the last time this Lenten Prayer of Confession. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise you as we have already sung and said in our hearts. We see you and we recognize you as King. King who rules this earth with humility and love. We don't know what this means because the example we see all around us is so different. And so we tend also in that direction, and we ask for your forgiveness. We pray that you would continue by your Holy Spirit to guide us in your ways, because we recognize your ways are so much different than our ways, and your thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And we can't but praise you for this. It's such a relief to know that our God is so far above anything we could ever think or imagine. Accept our prayers as you have accepted our meager offerings. We ask for your blessing on the offerings that we have brought, the money that we present to you, the gifts of ourselves and our time and our attention, and all of the other ways that we offer things that we think are so insignificant, and yet you honor them, you see them, you know us, and you care for us. And we ask that you would continue to bless these offerings, just as the mustard seed, which is so small and yet springs into something so large. Help us to recognize this is the way your kingdom goes. Help us to live in your kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. Teach us how to be faithful as citizens of your kingdom in this world and what that looks like. You know all of the pain and the suffering that our world is going through. We pray that you would uplift those who are struggling, encourage those who are bowed down, comfort those who are feeling lost and alone, who are grieving. Lift up the other churches in Swift Current as well as the other churches in all of Saskatchewan, not only the Mennonite churches, but we do remember Osler Mennonite today. We pray for the other churches too. And we pray that your people would be strengthened, that they would be able to joyfully proclaim your kingdom come. We pray for the situation in Russia and Ukraine, holding these things, this king that we know you are, and recognizing evil power at work in our world. Holding these two things together at the same time is so difficult, and we can't explain it to ourselves or our neighbors. We pray for your wisdom and insight, and help us to continue to be faithful. So as we have gathered here together, we pray together, confessing, Holy One, we seek you while you may be found. We call upon you while you are near. Have mercy on us, O God, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways. Forgive us for seeking power over others, and let us instead seek power with and for the most vulnerable. As we walk with Christ on this Lenten journey, let us see your way more clearly and follow your way more faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
The scripture for this morning is John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Oftentimes I will get up here and bring extra resources, books that have influenced the way that I've thought throughout the week, or magazines or ideas or things like that. And I often leave after the Sunday and think, oh, I never even mentioned it. I carry it up here, I carry it back down, so I'm going to start with it this time. Those of you who get the Canadian Mennonite, this article was written in the January 10th issue. I don't know how many of you save your Canadian Mennonites, and usually I don't. I read it, and then I recycle it. But this one really struck me, and it's very apropos for today. It's called "Let's Talk About Power." And it's an article directly about power, and it says, "What peacemakers need to understand about power." So I won't refer to it a lot, but for those of you who would like to reread it, I still have a copy, and I'm sure some other people have as well. It was very helpful, and it gave me a little bit of insight into the discussion on power. And the reason we're talking about power is today because it is Palm Sunday, and Jesus came with power, but a totally different kind of power. And in our focus statement, it says that we want to learn to trust instead of control. So as we are moving from power over to power with, we also need to learn to trust. Trust that God is already working in these situations, already at work within people's lives, within our institutions, and that we don't have to control everything to make sure things happen the way they should. That was a very helpful phrase for me. Also, it's the responsive reading. We give ourselves and we receive the disarming power of God. We give ourselves over to God's control and receive the disarming power of God. That's a real oxymoron. Disarming power. Well, the whole thing about Jesus and his power is an oxymoron, really. They're contradictory, and that's why it's so difficult to understand. I'm not going to try and piece it all together and make a perfect little picture, but I'll take us on a short journey that starts with the shouting. Today is a day for shouting. I give you permission to shout. We were always taught, oh, definitely, especially in church, no shouting in church, no running in church, no a lot of things in church. And those of you here who are pastor's children or deacon's children or pillars of the church children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All of these ways to behave in church. However, I give you permission today, and the psalmist of Psalm 118 also gives you permission. The text that Val read was John chapter 12, and that's the story that we sort of copied as the choir came in, waving palm branches, victorious, and we were semi-shouting. That's as loud as we get here at Zion. But it's to remind us to give ourselves permission, and especially in a time when we see a lot of doom and gloom around us. Yes, that's true, but let's balance things and let's remember what this day is a mark of. Today is the day that the crowd followed Jesus. They followed him as he was heading towards Jerusalem. And they were shouting and they were happy and they were joyful. We also should be happy and joyful because this is the truth. This is a fact that Jesus is our King. Amen. Psalm 118 was also chosen, and Ken warned you, Psalm 18 might come up a little bit through this service, and it actually will, because that was the phrase that the people were using. They were using something from Psalm 118. And right at the beginning of the psalm, and again at the end of the psalm, if you want to look, my text, this is the RSV, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And the conclusion of the psalm's the same thing. Give thanks to the Lord, he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Verse 2 says, "Let Israel say, good grief." Not say good grief, but when people interpret from the original text and then they put in these words, which we understand in English, we say things. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. There's no power in that. There's no passion in that. There's no joy in that. On a day of shouting and celebration, they are outside. They're not in the church, by the way. They are going up and down a huge crowd. They had just left Mary and Martha and Lazarus, live Lazarus, remember? This is the next day. They're still like, holy cow, can you believe that? This guy is alive. I'm talking to him. And here they are, this huge crowd following Jesus. And this is the text that they choose. And they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So shout it out. You know, things happen when we actually use our bodies, not just our brains, in our belief. Have you tried doing a little shouting of praise? Shout aloud for joy? You have to be careful where you are, you know, not in the middle of the night when you have close neighbors. But find a place so that you can really expel that. And suddenly, something happens with the neurons in your brain and your whole body becomes alive with the joy. Shout for joy. Or you could try preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning. It happens to me every Sunday. You know, it's on the paper here, and it's like, okay, I know step A, B, C, blah, blah, blah. But once I start saying these things, I realize how true they are, and it moves from up here down into my gut. You are invited today to shout together with this crowd. Use Psalm 118 if you want to. And rather than let Israel say, let Zion shout for joy. God is God. Thank God. God is God. And this God is good. Not only, I don't want to forget also, why did we sing, this is the day that the Lord has made? Where is it? This is the gate of the Lord. It's in Psalm 118. There it is, verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. And we know that song. We sang it together without even words or the overhead. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We can hold these truths together. The fact of our world, the things that happen, that have happened for the last number of years, that will continue to happen. Yes, we can hold those and we can hold them together. This is the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it, in Him, because He is the King. That's verse 24. And then verse 26, 25 says, save us, we beseech thee. Hosanna, Hosanna. Verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the text they used. And every one of the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all record this story. You know, they share different stories and different events, but this one, all of them talk about. And they all refer to Psalm 118. So it behooves us to take a second look at Psalm 118 and to really seep into it, feel it, use it. Another text that this writer uses, John, is Zechariah. And that's where I'm going to lean for the next part. I'm trying to find Zechariah again. You know, you would think I would put bookmarks in so that I could always find Zechariah. Not Zephaniah. There it is. It's only a couple of pages, and it's just before Malachi, so it's easy to miss. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, rejoice greatly. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. That's the text that John also refers to. Shout, because your king is coming. And I'm here to tell you this is the truth. And you can shout for joy. However, what is also true, as we move from the shouting, we move into the struggle for power and power in the struggle for power and the power in the struggle. The power of evil does not give up easily, but Jesus demonstrated that he has ultimate power when he raised Lazarus from death. Jesus showed, I have power over death, which was also demonstrated when God raised Jesus from dead. But before even that, before the events of the Passion Week, before everything became disturbed, Jesus was demonstrating the ultimate fear that all have is the fear of death, that end. And Jesus has power over that. However, the power of death and the power of evil does not just say, oh, yes, Jesus has power, and give up. There is constant and ongoing struggle. Struggle in that power and the loss of that power. We know who will ultimately win, but the road towards it is not easy. It's easy for us, though, to hold it at arm's length and say, it doesn't apply to me. I don't have power anyway, and we Mennonites like to say that. We're powerless, and we like it that way. However, especially if we read this article in the Canadian Mennonite and think about power, Are we aware when we have more power than others? Just some questions to ask. Powerlessness is the feeling of not being able to control or have agency over one's boundaries. If I don't have control or agency over my own boundaries, I feel powerless. When we don't understand and name how power is present in our relationships and in the church, then power is more likely to be abused and existing inequalities will be perpetuated. These are very dangerous statements. When we don't understand where power is, where it is being used and abused, then those power inequalities are perpetuated. I'm reading a very disturbing book on what happens in churches when power dynamics are abused, when we don't recognize the power in relationships. It's a hard thing to think about, but we need to be aware of it. And if we are going to be followers of Jesus, Jesus was always together with the poor and the meek and the lowly. He is noticing those who are unnoticed and those who are voiceless. And when we ourselves don't recognize the power dynamics and inequality in power relationships, then we actually make ourselves powerless, willfully powerless, because we don't want to see. We don't want to recognize. We don't want to say anything. We don't want to intrude on something that isn't our own. But that's where Jesus invites us, into that struggle. Power, or the ability to effect change, is present in every relationship. Power, or the ability to effect change, is present in every relationship and context in which we find ourselves. I'd invite you to think about that. Think about your relationships and the power that you have or that is exerted over you in different contexts and relationships. It's always there. We need to start paying attention to it and recognizing it. What then shall we do? We know Jesus has power. We know Jesus has life-giving power over death. So that's something for our end of time, end of life. What about right now? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power. You will receive power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to participate in God's mission. We have been given the power to participate in God's mission in the world. And what does that look like? Well, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 17, for what goodness and beauty are his. This is the conclusion of that chapter that Zechariah is talking about this coming king. And he describes this king, this powerful king, what goodness and beauty are his. He comes triumphant, victorious in all of those power struggles. So when we enter that, the power for reconciliation, for lifting up those who are downtrodden, who are beaten down, who are powerless and voiceless. We are working with God's mission, God's victorious mission in this world. But he is also humble. The power comes with humility. The humility of riding on a donkey. This was how he entered Jerusalem, the place where they crown kings. our task to give a voice for those without a voice. Become aware of power, where it's coming from, who it's used for, what it looks like.
Thank you, Lois. Food for thought, food for life. Well, we're taking our purple book, a little one, a skinny one, and we're going to go sing 76. And it comes to mind that when Jesus started this week, it says in one of the Gospels that he turned his face toward Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? It was the religious center of power. It was the political center of power. And there were the crowds. Now, we've had a parade go through town about a few months ago. That was also a parade. But power is... Jesus took on all three, actually. Because later, the people got the message after they cheered him on. We'll learn more about that on Good Friday if you come. Let's stand and sing number 76. What did I say? 75? Is that what it is? Okay, let's stand and sing that. Two times.
Please bow for the sending. From this time and place into whatever awaits, may we follow God's way of empowerment. May we resist the temptation to hold power over others and learn to exercise power with others in love. As we go, know that our God of the wilderness goes with us on the way. Amen.
So we're making a slight change. This is another one. Take the blue book. Take the blue book, and we're going to turn to number 69. The Lord is King. We're celebrating that kingship today. And we see here reference to his love and mercy changes not. His blood and righteousness avail. His grace and pardon never fail in stanza 2. And we notice in stanza 3, this is in number 69 in the blue book, of Christ who on the cross hath bled and through life's valley led. So we want to remember these things as we go from here. It's a prayer, the last couple of stanzas. The first two is just describing. So let's sing number 69 in the blue book.
Thank you. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.